And so in a moment, we're just going to pray for him and bless him and receive what he's got for us from God. But Ken just wanted to give us a quick update on that story.
Jan and Ray informed me that when I heard the story, it was just a couple of days after the drama about the guy who ran into the back of the other vehicle and how he came to the Lord. 1 week after he came to the Lord, he died. So he's actually in heaven, and God orchestrated that out of the grace of God. So God's at work. He wants people in the kingdom. He will do anything, but he's looking for somebody who'll just give that invite, make that contact.
Thank you, Ken. Let's pray for Kirk. Remember the rules. The more blessed he is, the more blessed you are. Come on, give it your best shot. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for Kirk. We thank you for his love and compassion for people. We thank you for his heart that burns for more of the kingdom. And we just ask, Lord, that your anointing will be upon him right now, and that you'll release him to bring to us all that you have for him to bring, whether that's to do with your word and teaching, whether it's to do with the impartation of the Holy Spirit. Just release it all in him to bring to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Jeff. Thanks, Jeff. Well, good morning, everybody. It's a pleasure, firstly, and a privilege to be here with you this morning. And firstly, let me bring a greeting from the family or the part of the tribe from Pine Rivers in Brisbane. This morning, they've been madly praying for me and for you that you'd you'd benefit from my presence this morning. So we're hoping for good things. But they send their love. And they're also, they want to say in advance, they want to say thank you, and I do as well, for you guys being so generous as to release Jeff to come and spend the next two weekends with us at Pine Rivers as we continue to contend for the things that Jesus has asked us to do as a local church. And so we know that comes at cost to you, and we just want to say thank you so very much for your willingness to bless us in that way. Before I get too much into some teaching that I want to bring, just while we were worshiping this morning, as I was just looking across the group here, the church family here, firstly, let me say the worship team, you guys are doing a wonderful job of just bringing us into the presence of God in this place. It was a rich experience for me. And I want to say thank you for that. But in the midst of that, I saw a picture of a number of you all who have walked in here this morning with various... The picture that the Lord showed me was arrows in different parts of your being and your physical body. And the Holy Spirit was just talking to me about how... it's a great thing that we can come into the fellowship of believers out from the coalface of where the kingdoms clash on a daily basis. And when we gather, we come as wounded soldiers. And we come with various difficulties and both internal, that Jesus has been trying to work victory in us, as well as relational and external to us. And in the journey of kingdom life, and we come back together as soldiers who have somewhat been wounded through the course of a week. And the Lord just showed me all these arrows in different various parts of your body. And he reminded me of Paul's letter to the Ephesians, where he encourages the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 6 to take up the shield of faith to defend ourselves from the flaming arrows of the enemy. And I said, well, Lord, if we're meant to take up the shield of faith, surely that's meant to defend us. Why are we walking with arrows in us? And the Lord just said, you know, there's a number of us in here today who are just fatigued and worn out and quite literally are wrestling to muster this sense of faith to be even able to lift up that shield to say, God, would you defend me? You know, God wants to be our defender. And he wants for us as his people to call out to him to be our sure defense and weapon. And so this morning, I just had a hunch that maybe by the Holy Spirit just whispering to me that there's a number of us in here that are feeling like, you know, in this season of contending for life and relationship and breakthroughs in regards to our health and our families and economic circumstances, for a number of us, it's a contentious thing. It's a battle that's fueled with a real sense of difficulty, and it's hard right now to perhaps lift up that sense of oh God, would you come and be my sure defense and weapon? This morning, I think the Holy Spirit wants to come and minister the Father's love to you by removing the barb from those arrows, to remove the barb and the sting that goes with them, so that you can again, when we finish and we leave the locker room here and we go back out onto the real field where we live our real lives, can go as a people who have the shield of faith again with them. So just I just encourage you to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit this morning, because I think even as I'm speaking about that, a number of you are going, yep, I know that too well, and it looks like this for me. And so I want to encourage you, don't ignore that. Don't ignore that. The Holy Spirit's bringing that to the surface because he wants, before you leave today, to heal you of that and set you free from that and release you to enjoy life in the kingdom of God as Jesus intended it for us. The season we're in, church calendar-wise or Christian calendar-wise, it's the season of Pentecost. And we at Vineyard Pine Rivers, we love this season. We love celebrating this season. It's one of those seasons that we celebrate with a great sense of hunger and anticipation, because we've just come off the back end of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And we're now hungering to experience afresh in our annual walk with him the promise that he said the Father would send, which was the person of the Holy Spirit. And all of the joy, the power, and the life that comes with him. I was saying to Jeff in the car on the way over this morning, I said, one of the things that you want to do when you move in with someone or share a house with someone or form relationship with someone is you actually do want to get to know them, particularly if you're living in close quarters. You want to get to know them because otherwise relationship can be difficult. And I just wonder how many of us today in our relationship with the Holy Spirit who the day that you said, oh, Jesus, I really need you to come and help me enter your kingdom, and that he actually come and took up residency in your life, in the core of your being, and that the Holy Spirit has made home there. And he is seeking to enrich you from the inside out, as well as empower you from the outside for the mission of Jesus. But I wonder how many of us are familiar with the external power of the Holy Spirit, and yet are unfamiliar with who he really is, and yet he lives in us. Do we recognize his promptings? Are we familiar with the way he speaks to us and brings revelation of Jesus to us and the goodness of the Father? Are we familiar with who it is that's actually living and breathing and expanding the reality of Jesus within us? And I think for some of us, we still have the Holy Spirit. It's kind of one of those unfortunate things that our language does. It sort of depersonalizes him by saying he is the Holy Spirit. And so we talk about him like the Holy Spirit, as if I would say, well, do you know the Jeff Baker? Do you know the Joe Baker? Well, we don't say the Jeff Baker or the Joe Baker, do we? We just say, do you know Jeff? Do you know Holy Spirit? Do you know him? This morning I want us to take a little bit of a journey into understanding who he is. Because as we understand who he is, we begin to understand some of the passion and some of the purposes for which he has come to live in us. And I just want to explore just a fraction of that this morning. There's so much there in the Bible that we could look at. But one of the pieces of scripture that I've been at home at Pine Rivers, we've been stuck in for probably a while now, is Luke 24, after the disciples have seen Jesus crucified and buried, and they've heard rumor of these amazing stories of the fact that their women have run to the tomb and discovered that it's empty, and the women are telling them of this incredible supernatural experience that's happened for them, where these angelic beings have stood in their presence and said, he's not here, he's risen. So all of a sudden, it's awesome, you know, when Jesus first arrived on the scene, what happened? These angelic beings turn up in a field with some shepherds and say, hey, the Messiah's come, you know, and here he is on the third day, risen from the dead. And who is it again that's integral in part of the proclamation of that message? It's these angelic beings that are standing there again saying, hey, the Messiah is alive now. He's risen from the dead, just like the prophet said, and just like he said. So these women have experienced this supernatural reality, and they've run back to their group of disciples, and they've said, it's true, he's alive, he's alive. And some of the men ran to the tomb, and but he wasn't there, just like they said. And then there's some disciples who are in this place of leaving Jerusalem, because Jesus, they perhaps haven't understood the purpose of Jesus and the mission of Jesus. And as they're leaving Jerusalem on the road to Emmaus, a few of them are walking along there together, and Luke 24 tells us that they had their faces downcast. You kind of imagine you put all your hopes in something. I don't know if you've ever had that kind of experience where you put your hopes in something, that something is about to happen, and then it just all falls flat and it just all goes south, and it's like, oh, and you're left downcast. Well, I kind of imagine that that's what these disciples were like in Luke 24. And they're walking away from seeing Jesus crucified and buried, not having seen him with their own eyes risen from the dead yet, and they're in this kind of hopeless, downcast place. They're walking along, as Luke describes for us, and there Jesus comes along himself and stands with them, and they're kept from recognizing him. I'm not sure what's at play there as to why. There's many speculations as to perhaps why they didn't recognize him. But I know that in working with folk that are wrestling through depression, it's hard for them to see many things as they try and find their way out of the darkness that surrounds them. And so it just takes time for them to be able to see again. But Jesus comes and he commits himself to walking with them, even though they're in this place of hopelessness. Isn't God good? Isn't God good that he would come and walk with us? He's committed to walking with us, even when we're in this place of hopelessness or darkness or lostness, and we're not sure what tomorrow is going to bring. Isn't God good that he doesn't leave us abandoned or alone, but he's committed to walking with us? And that these guys even say to Jesus, hey, listen, are you the only bloke that hasn't been in town here? Don't you understand what's going on? And they're telling Jesus what Jesus has just been through, yet they can't see him for their downcast position and depressed state. And then Jesus begins to open the scriptures to them and telling of all of what the prophets said, he spoke to them of who he was and what he had to do to bring them back into the purposes of God, back into the saving work of God. And as they're doing that, there's this dynamic that's starting to take place in them. But they don't discover this dynamic till after the fact. It's like, have you ever been in that place where God, you know God's doing something in you? You know something's being roused in you, but you're unaware of how to understand that or where to put that and how to interpret that? That happens to me a lot. And it started for me the day I said, yes, Lord. He's forever taking me to these places in doing things in here that I can't quite understand until he brings me into the fullness of what he's doing. It's a bit of a journey. I'm sure you know what I'm saying there. But these guys don't realize till after the fact that, as Luke describes it, he says their hearts begin to burn within them. Their hearts start to come alive, to come out of their depression or their oppressed place. Jesus pretends in that piece of scripture that he's going to just keep walking for the evening. And the disciple says, "No, you can't keep walking. Come and stay with us." In fact, the scripture says they urged him quite strongly, "You must come stay with us." You know, I think Jesus is incredibly secure. And he waits for those moments when we're walking with him to say, "Jesus, would you come and be with me?" Jesus will risk walking away, waiting for you to say, "Would you come and walk this experience with me, Jesus?" And then they go in and they have dinner together. Now, this is the pinnacle of this bit of scripture here in Luke 24, because what they're doing now is they're inviting Jesus into the culturally most intimate place. The dinner table for these people, for these disciples, was perhaps the most intimate place. It's where, you know, the shoes were kicked off, you reclined, your feet were washed, servants would wash your feet, you would fellowship together, you would lie down, you know, just on each other as you're sort of around the dinner table and enjoy the bounty of provision, bread, food, whatever it was. So these guys actually say, "And would you come, Jesus, into the most intimate experience that we can have as human beings, which is to fellowship together this way?" And Jesus loves that invitation. And so he comes and he fellowships with them. And it's in the place of intimacy and friendship where Jesus is there eating with them. What happens? The scriptures tell us that their eyes are opened. They come out of this place of being held captive or downcast and lost hope. And their eyes are opened and they see him. They see him. And it's pretty incredible. You know, I mean, this is supernatural stuff that these guys are living through. And then Jesus disappears from their sight. Poof. Gone. It's like, now their reaction and their response in the middle of the night when it's dark and they don't have nice air-conditioned warm vehicles to get into on a cold night and nice smooth roads to drive on. No, they strap on the old dusty sandals and run back to Jerusalem, the very place from which they this depression was born. And they bring the revelation that Jesus is alive back to the very place where the depression started. And they tell the good news. And as they're doing that, again, some of the other gospels tell us Jesus turned up again. John's gospel tells us Jesus turned up again in the room as they were together again. And he breathed the Spirit on them. But one of the things that Jesus says to his disciples in Luke 24, this is where I want to get to this morning, is Jesus says, "I have to go because the Father is going to send you the promised gift of the person of Holy Spirit. And when he comes on you, he's going to clothe you with power." I want to touch on this issue of who this person is that's trying to give you a new wardrobe, clothe you, trying to give you a new understanding of, and me, of how to live this kingdom life. This Holy Spirit will come with power, and that word power Jesus uses is a great word. The word in the Greek is dynamis, which is in where we in the English get the word dynamite from. And dynamite has these incredibly explosive dynamic capacities that's inherent in it, and it just needs to be given permission to be loosed, and it has massive effect. And so Jesus says to these guys, now wait, because this power is going to come on you. And his name is the person of the Holy Spirit. And in fact, there's reason for this is he's going to mobilize you in the mission of Jesus. Acts 1:8 tells us that. Jesus himself says, the risen Jesus, walking around for 40 days, telling of the kingdom of God, tells these guys, wait here. The Spirit's going to come on you and he's going to give you power to complete the mission of the kingdom, to do the work of the kingdom. Now, it's a great time, Pentecost, because not only was Jesus doing this for these individuals, but he was declaring in this act of that the Spirit will come, he's declaring there's a whole new way of life for every man, woman, and child on planet Earth. Not just for disciples. Because previously, you see, Pentecost is an Old Testament celebration. It's when the people of old, around the mountain, when Moses went to the mountain to get the law of how to live life together so we don't kill each other, when Moses went to get the law, what we read so often in the Old Testament is that the presence of the Lord would be over the mountain. Remember those images of the cloud of God's presence would come over the mountain and Moses would go up and fellowship with him and Moses describes the experience in Exodus as like two friends meeting together face to face. Incredible experience. The thing that sort of cheeses me off about all of that is that only he got to do it. Well, him and a few others. And God said, not anyone can come onto this mountain. Not everyone can be near my presence because if you do, animals, anything, they'll die. I'm like, well, you know, I kind of read that. Thank goodness I'm a I get to live in the grace of the New Testament era. But it's like, how come only a few got to experience you like that, Lord? And yet, in the promise of the sending of the Spirit, now, the fulfillment of the prophetic utterance that all the prophets said would come an age and a time in the earth when God's presence would not be in one place on one person, but it would be spread abroad onto all flesh. You remember that? You remember that message that Peter gave in the early chapters of the book of Acts, his first public message after he denied Jesus, he's been restored, and if anywhere there was a guy probably struggling with his identity at that moment, it would have been him. It's like, but he stands there and he proclaims this message and he says, this is what Joel said. The Spirit of God would be poured out on all flesh. Now everyone gets to come into the face-to-face friendship experience of relationship with God through Jesus' work on the cross and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. It's an incredible season. See, it happened in the time of Pentecost. And Pentecost was the time when the people of old were coming together to celebrate in two ways. They celebrated with their finances or their first fruits of their harvesting to say thank you to God for your provision. But they were also celebrating at the same time the memory that God came down and fellowshipped with Moses. And we are of that tribe. Of that experience. And now, it's right in the middle of all that celebration that's going on that Jesus sends Holy Spirit. Jesus and the Father send Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit comes and he starts touching everyone. All Gentiles, pagans, all flesh was getting the experience of being able to know God. And what a great time we live in. And Jesus says that he will come on us as his disciples with power to be my witnesses or to do the works of the kingdom. So there's this incredible rich experience going on. And I believe that the Christian experience is meant to be one of being empowered by the Holy Spirit, where we don't just speak of the Holy Spirit in an abstract term, but we speak of Holy Spirit dynamically alive, dynamite. These dynamite experiences of God bringing his presence and his kingdom in us and through us and on us to the world. Because God wants everyone to know that he is for them and he loves them. This word dynamite, strength, ability, inherent power, power to do miracles, power for moral choice and excellent decisions of the soul, the capacity to influence. All of this dynamic power of God is being poured out on people like you and me to do the bidding and the work of Jesus today. This is what it means to receive the Holy Spirit, the power of the Spirit. So I just want to touch on a few things of who this person is that's living in you, and every now and then you have this overwhelming sense that his power is coming on you to do the work of Jesus. A couple of things. Power to do what? Well, the first thing I want us to just check out here is that the Holy Spirit comes on us with dynamic power so that we can break through any and all forms of demonic activity and resistance. Mark chapter 5 is this great story of where Jesus goes and gets in the boat and goes over to the Gerasenes, and he meets this man that is fully demonized and possessed intensely. So much so that no one can hold him, and they can't hold him with chains, they can't bind this bloke. He's so supernaturally strong because of the infestation and the oppressive work of the demonic on this man's life. And we see Jesus come, and just like you and me, Jesus, the man, baptized in the Jordan, the Spirit comes on him, and he's mobilized in the works of the kingdom, and he goes and does the Father's bidding in obedience to the Father, just like you and I. But this, we see in this encounter, Jesus speaks with incredible sense of knowing who he is in his relationship to the Father, and incredible authority that the Spirit of God is with him to extend the kingdom and liberate this man and set him free. So he speaks to the demons. The demons are called legion. That's because there's loads of them in there. And they are, so they start to panic. What are you going to do with us? We know who you are. What are you going to do with us? And they start to panic. And Jesus says, get out. Be quiet and get out. Now, the farmers that day weren't too happy because they all got ushered into the pigs, and the pigs ran down the hill and drowned themselves. I tell you, Jesus is no respecter of our sense of economy either. I mean, he extended the kingdom of God. He's a bit of a wild man, this Jesus. So I believe that the Holy Spirit is upon us to be able to exact the purposes of God's love and freedom for people's lives where the demonic resists and holds people. Again, in Mark chapter 1, where Jesus is in the temple and he's doing some teaching, and then there's a demonized man in there, or he's paralyzed, and he notices in Mark chapter 1 that the presence of the Lord is there ready to heal. In other words, the Holy Spirit's in the room. And Jesus is aware of this, that the dynamic capacity and power and inherent goodness of God is ready to liberate this man that has a demonic affliction on his life, that's holding his body captive. And Jesus speaks to this and sets the man free. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 6 quite clearly to us to remind us that our struggle is not against each other. It's not against the flesh and the blood, but it's against the powers of this dark world in which we live. John 1 actually describes it like this. I think it's John 1:4. He uses hardcore words. He says the whole world is under the control of Satan. I mean, this is a disciple of Jesus, but he recognizes our context, that the enemy of God is alive and at work and influencing and oppressing and holding people captive. And Paul sees that, and he says, we've got to remember, folks, that our journey in this life is we're not contending with each other. We're contending with this spiritual environment in which we find ourselves that wants to hold us captive from the liberty and the freedom of life in all its fullness that God has in his heart for us. And that's why we call these moments breakthroughs, because God's kingdom busts through that reality with authority as his Spirit moves in all sorts of circumstances and situations and relationships, and he expands room and freedom for people to come and enter into the goodness of God. and the love of God. Just last week, Nicole and I, we were worn out and we were tired, and it was a Thursday evening, and about 6 o'clock, and I was ready to sort of pull up stumps and kick the feet up, and Nick said to me, "Oh, don't forget, we got an appointment with this couple tonight down at their house." I went, "Ah, oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that." Sort of big groan went off inside me. Ugh. And, you know, that's what pastors do, you know, just like anyone else, really. So anyway, I'm having this groan session because I was ready to kick up my feet and make the evening all about me in front of the TV. But anyways, as I'm sitting there, I have this little, oh, God, I got no energy for this. I got no time for this. I'm wasted. You got to do something else or find someone else. And then he says, no, I want you. And so I'm like, oh, all right, Lord, I'll go. So anyway, at 7 o'clock, we head down the road to this young family who had been experiencing supernatural phenomena in their home at night. Instruments would be playing while no one's in the room, all sorts of just demonic activity and things moving in the house and all that sort of gear. And so we were like, all right, you know, they ring us because we're disciples of Jesus. Well, disciples of Jesus deals with this sort of stuff, don't they? Don't we? Yes, we do. We do. This is what disciples of Jesus do. And so we get up, we get in the car, we go down there, and we're totally exhausted. We say this simple prayer like, oh, God, we've had it. You need to come. Send your power. Let's go. And so we get into the house. We have a cup of tea with them. We talk some. And then we say, all right, well, let's just wait on the Holy Spirit. Let's just see what Jesus wants to do. And as we're doing this, two things take place. Firstly, for me as the individual that's totally exhausted, this energizing power starts to come alive in me as I connect with what Jesus is wanting to do in the moment. This dynamic experience of the Spirit who lives in me starts to rise up and rouse his presence in me, letting me know that he's got the goods for the context. He's got everything that he needs for this family situation. All I need to be is the available, you know, postman just to deliver it. And as this rising up in me, I get more and more excited about the fact that I'm in this moment that half an hour ago I just was not interested in at all. So that dynamic's taking place. And then we start to pray through the home. Great experience. I tell you what, all the animals in the street went berserk. Dogs were going off and barking. It's like all of a sudden there's cars beeping. Out of nowhere, police sirens start going off around the place. It was like all of a sudden, you know, there's this dynamic activity taking place all around this neighborhood of this young couple and their kids as we asked for the kingdom of God to come. It was like it was breaking in. The dynamic power of God was breaking into their circumstance and pushing back the darkness. And there was all this chaos going on around that, saying, resisting it and causing havoc around it as it was repelled by the presence of Jesus coming to touch this family. So anyway, we pray for the family. We clean the house out, and then we pray. And then in the course of it, I'm thinking, that's it, great, we're done, we can go home, it's 9 o'clock, all right, this is good. And then one of the couples says to us, while we were just with the Lord just then, he reminded me of all of this dark stuff that I participated in as a young person. I'm like, all right, Jesus wants to help you too. And then they just confessed to participating in all of this, you know, pagan witchcraft stuff when they were young. Been Christian for probably 7 or 8 years, but had never realized that this was impacting their life until the Holy Spirit said, now's a good time for this to, you'd be set free from the influence of this. I was like, all right. So we prayed with them, and God's power came on her and him as a couple. And they, you know, there was all sorts of physical reaction to that, which was wonderful for our eyes to be able to see that God's at work here. But they got set free. And so anyway, that was nearly 10 days ago or whatever it is. And just the other day I said, how's things? They said, we are sleeping. We have never slept a whole night. Our kids have never slept a whole night. We are sleeping. I said, isn't that good? God just loves to grant those who love him rest. Isn't that what it's about? Jesus said, come and enter into my rest. Isn't God good? I mean, you know, Jesus has given us his spirit. He's clothing us in his power, his dynamic a power to push back, drive back, get out of and off people's circumstances, demonic influences and spiritual darkness. That's what Paul's talking about in Ephesians 6. You and I have been given permission to walk life like that so that we can set the captives free. Not only has Jesus given us power to break through all forms of demonic resistance by the person and work of the Holy Spirit, he sends us his spirit, clothes us with his power to break through old structures that are within us and old thinking patterns and worldviews and sin structures. You ever seen one of those, footage of when they bring down a massive high-rise building in the middle of a city? They blow it up and it implodes and they raise it to the floor. Have you ever seen that sort of thing? And yet all these buildings around it seem to somehow escape the activity. But this one building is just brought down and raised to the floor. Now, the Holy Spirit is busy about doing that in us, of raising worldviews or imploding and bringing down worldviews, sin structures, responses that come out of our flesh and not out of the Holy Spirit, ways of thinking, ways of understanding God, ways of understanding and appreciating each other. He is constantly bringing that stuff down so that he can, what's the kingdom experience? Be born again. That's the kingdom experience, to be born again. That our thinking, our responses, our reactions, the way we behave might come alive out of the work of the Holy Spirit and have a fruit or an experience about it that testifies to, man, God must be alive. This is what this is about, that our lives would speak of the goodness of God. And others would say things like, I want that. What they've got, I need, I want. Holy Spirit, he continues to bring down and challenge and implode those sin structures in us, those worldviews that aren't the way that Jesus sees the world, and bring them down so that he can establish his kingdom within us. He also breaks power for, I've written here, new ground for the release of resources to be harvested for the kingdom of God. Lately, it's been in the press a lot, obviously, with some of the things that the government's wanting to do in regards to super profits taxes, and the mining industry is sort of jumping up and down right now. And so one of the things that we've seen that come along with that on the TV is all this footage of these massive open-cut mines. You know the sort I'm talking about? And some of the footage is just incredible, where they line up all these charges of dynamite and C4, and they in these huge open expansive spaces, and then they take the camera shot view of the whole thing, and then they just set the charges off, and the ground just starts to wave, and it's like this incredible wave of the ground is being blown up, so that the riches that are in that ground can be harvested and released. The Holy Spirit is like this. He's like an open mine miner, an open cut mine miner. He loves to set off these depth charges, both in us and in our circumstances and regions, so that the eternity plans that God has placed in our hearts, as King Solomon has said, that eternity resides in the hearts of men, that can be harvested and come out and be set free to come alive and live through us. So that towns, cities, the people that live in our street, that little bit of our neighborhood where we live and walk every day, can be set free to be harvested to come into the kingdom of God. Now, I was just thinking about it this morning when I woke up. Paul says, when he wrote to the church in Thessalonica, and he says to those guys, this is an illustration of the power of the Holy Spirit to set a region free. to come to Christ. So he's speaking, though, to a church that is the fruit of that dynamic, powerful work of the Spirit. And he says in 1 Thessalonians 1:5, he says, our gospel came to you not simply with words, but with power and with the Holy Spirit. But with power and with the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit loves to go before us and, you know, set this course of activity in motion so that our towns and regions can come to Christ, so the people in the house next door can know him. What are you doing, Holy Spirit? Give us the eyes to see. Give us that sense of faith to know you're at work and alive around us. Open cut mining. There's a great story of this kind of thing that's illustrated in Acts chapter 10, where Peter has come to Christ. He's now kind of leading the charge for the new church that's being born. People are getting saved all over the place, and Peter has this weird dream. I think it's about Acts 9, where he has this weird dream of pig's feet and all this sort of stuff. And he's like, ooh, that's not good, because I'm a Jewish boy by heart, by birth, you know. And he's Jesus is beginning to challenge Peter about who the gospel is for, who the kingdom is for. It's no longer just for the people that were of the family of Moses around the mountain. It's now for everyone. And so Peter has this incredible dream on the rooftop after lunch, which is a great time to have a sleep. Great time to have a sleep after lunch. And in the middle of that, the Holy Spirit begins revealing something to Peter. And then at the same time, while he's doing that there, Holy Spirit's doing that there, Holy Spirit is over at this bloke's house called Cornelius. Now, Cornelius is a good God-fearing man. He's not Jewish. But he has this sense of, I know God is there. And the best way that Acts chapter 9 tells us that he can express that, I know God's there, is that he feeds the poor. He takes care of the poor. He has this concern for the poor. And so he feeds them and cares for them. And so the Holy Spirit turns up at his place and says, you need to send blokes over to Peter's house, which I think is amazing, like, because how would he have even known who the Holy Spirit is? But all of a sudden, he's aware of who Holy Spirit is. So he goes over to Simon Peter's house and sends men there and says, you need to come over to Joppa, to our place, and tell us about the gospel. And so they send guys, and these guys knock on the door, and Peter goes, what do you want? I don't know how pleasant he was after being woken from his sleep. I'm a bit grumpy myself. But he says, what do you want? They say, you need to come with us because you've got the gospel. And then the Holy Spirit says to Peter, you need to go with them. Now, everything in Peter reacted poorly, I reckon, because he's a Jew and they're Gentiles. These two can't mix. And yet the Holy Spirit says, Pete, it's all right. Go with them. I kind of imagine like they would have been walking on one side of the street and Peter would have been over here, you know. He's checking them out because he hasn't been with this kind before. And yet, and then of all things, Peter has to get over himself and actually go into their house. And so he's now gathering with the great unclean. And as he goes in there, he starts to tell them about the gospel of the kingdom of God and who Jesus is. And halfway through what he's doing, what happens? Holy Spirit turns up and dynamically starts resting his power on these people's lives. And they all come into the kingdom of God and get baptized and come to Christ. And Peter's left there scratching his head going, my goodness, this isn't just for us. It's for everyone. The dynamic work of the Holy Spirit. He is surfacing and blowing up situations, dynamically releasing his power in front of us all of the time that we might join with him to harvest the riches that God wants restored back to his kingdom, which is people. People like you and me. This Holy Spirit, he lives in you. This activity base, he's doing around you and me all the time and through us as well. And the other thing, I won't get into this, but the other thing that he does is he comes with power to break through our sin nature and overcome our addictive behaviors and responses that come out of our brokenness. John's gospel tells us, John 16, when he comes, he'll come and he'll convict the world in regards to sin. He's doing that to me all the time. Holy Spirit is always saying, Kirk, you can't do that. You can't do that. That's just not consistent with who Jesus is. You've got to love them differently. You've got to respond to your kids differently. You can't yell at them like you do. You can't be, you know, discipline them out of your anger. You can't do that. You can't treat your wife like that. You can't treat the bloke in the car that just cut you off like that. You just can't do it, Kirk. He's convicting me the whole time. And at the same time, he's convicting me about my passivity of joining with Jesus as well and what Jesus is wanting to do in the people in my street. He's like, Kirk, you can't sit there right now. You need to get off the couch. You need to go and get in the car and you need to go and help these people in this home because they need to know that I love them right now. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. The Holy Spirit, if it wasn't for him, I would be on the couch all the time. Totally passive and non-responsive. But he's making me anew. This is the process of coming alive in Christ. Paul says, I no longer live unto myself. I live unto God. This is what happened at the cross. This is what happened the day you said yes to Jesus and I said yes to Jesus. We said, oh God, you see, I did this really crazy thing. I said to God on that moment, in that moment, I said to him, I will give you all of me on the proviso that you give me all of you. And he's very good at keeping his end of the deal. Very good. And he's always saying, well, Kirk, you said, I'm just doing what you gave me permission to do. He's just doing like what the disciples did on that day when they invited him to come and eat dinner with him. They said, Jesus, would you come in to the most intimate place of who we are and who I am for you as a fellowship of believers? Jesus wants to know in this season, in this time, for your life, for this fellowship and for this region, this town, he wants to know, will you invite him in? Will you let him come and fellowship with you in the most intimate of places, in who you are as an individual, of who you are together? Will you let him be the risen Son of God? Will you let him clothe you with a whole new wardrobe with power so that you might join him as he liberates the world? These are great questions. I mean, only you can ask them. I answer them. I'm just a guy who can fly through town and ask them. You guys have got to wrestle this, even as we're wrestling with this in our home. I have this crazy vision at home that, like, our fellowship is going to, like, people just freak out when I say this to them. I say, you know, you got to understand, guys, when Jesus asked me to lead this thing, he put a massive picture in my heart. And it starts with the words that none would perish. None would perish. Not one. But that all would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. That's big. That's very big. Friends, the Holy Spirit is here right now in this room. And Jesus is here to pour out the Spirit upon us with the Father's love as well, that we might come into living in the dynamic nature of who it is that's already taken up residency in here. Well, he's already done it. I believe that as we celebrate this season of the Holy Spirit being poured out as the people of God in the earth, we will come into the experience and the knowledge that it is Jesus' will. I think I can say this. It is the will of Jesus, the Son of God, the risen one, that you and I, as disciples of his, filled with his Spirit and empowered by the Spirit, be powerful in our world. You will be clothed with power. Power to do the works of Christ in this world, in this time. We as Spirit-powered disciples are dangerous to the plans of the enemy to hold people in captivity and sin, and we as Spirit-powered disciples are to be powerfully effective in accomplishing the passion that is in the heart of the Father. That's why he sent the Son and now poured out the Spirit so that all flesh could come into the saving knowledge that God is King. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir. I know I'm preaching to the choir here. But how well do you know him? How well do you want to know him? This is what's on us this morning. We are Spirit-powered disciples to see people find Jesus, to see people find the fellowship of believers, just as you all have here at the Vineyard, and to become an integral part in the body of Christ as the vehicle that will see the world saved, the local church. To see people find daily purpose in their otherwise dull and poverty-based lives and oppressed lives. To see people join with Jesus as he moves in our setting by the power of the Spirit to see the world come to know Father. What does it feel like? Sometimes it's like we deal with truth here and we don't understand how that there correlates to or interprets what's going on here. It's a bit hard for us sometimes. In fact, in Luke 24, there's a whole other bit of teaching that the Lord showed me this year about, you know, in Luke 24, Jesus says, "Why do you resist me?" And he even says to the disciples, "You're really slow of heart." In other words, you're pretty dull in your... And he says, "Why do you resist me with your mind?" And the interesting thing is we go, "Here..." And Jesus is actually using the word in the Greek, the kardia. Why are you resisting me in your mind, your kardia? Kardia is the word from where we get cardiac, heart. See, the mind, the heart, has an intelligence and a capacity to be able to interpret and understand who God is. Jesus says, why do you resist me here? Isn't that interesting? We spend a lot of time here thinking this is the problem. It's actually here. Why do you resist me with your kardia, your mind? And in that scripture in Luke 24, Jesus not only challenges their mind, but then once he's touched their mind, then their mind comes into the revelation of what's going on in here, which is their gnosis. Oh, I know what's going on in my mind. This is the journey of following the Holy Spirit. What does it feel like? Well, the best way I can describe it is like the disciples did. It feels a little like there's a fire starting to burn in us. I watched that movie the other night, Tom Hanks' Castaway. It was just on TV again. Great, I love that movie, you know. But one of his most desperate needs when he's on that island in the first sort of 72 hours is to create fire. And he spends like himself and he gets cut and hurt and damaged in the process of getting a stick on another little bit of stick and rubbing and rubbing and rubbing and rubbing and rubbing until the rub got so intense that the fire began. And once the fire began, you know the scene I'm talking about? If you haven't seen it, go and watch it. It's a great movie. Castaway, Tom Hanks, all right? If you're not doing it this afternoon, you want something to watch, that's a good one. He's rubbing away, and then all of a sudden the smoke starts. And then the flame begins, and he breathes on it, just and he throws a little bit of coconut fur on it, and it sort of goes a bit more, and then he throws some, and then once he's got fire, he is running around like a madman. Fire! I've got fire! The sense of celebration and life that he came into because the fire that he so desperately needed was there for him to be able to survive his journey on that island and back into normal life. The question is, what does it feel like? Well, my question to you is this. Can you feel the burning going on inside? Can you feel your cardia starting to come alive because Jesus is with you and near you and he's wanting to pour his power and spirit upon you? Can you feel the fire? See, this is the experience of no one else on the earth except for the disciple of Jesus. The fire. The fire. That everyone would come into that. How's your kardia this morning? How's your heart? Is it on fire? I'm going to finish with this. Hang on a second. Can you tell? See that big crease in my jacket, in my shirt? I come from Queensland. I haven't had to wear a jumper this year. I just pulled it out of the cup. I just put it on coming here and I went, oh, that looks good. Anyway, can you feel the heat of the presence of God? This morning, well, last night when I went to bed, I said, all right, Lord, I'm really toast. And I got my piece of paper out and my pen. I said, is there anything you want to tell me for the your people at Berwick Vineyard? And he said, yep, I do. I said, all right, well, do you want to tell me all about it? And he said, no, you go to sleep and I'll tell you. I've never had that before. I'm like, all right, I'll go to sleep. Have this just this fantastic dream of that I think was from God. I'll let the Holy Spirit connect it with you. If it's of him, he'll make sense of it. In this dream, Nicole and I, we were down the end of a street, just a normal suburban street, with our kids playing in what was something like a, I don't know, like a child playground park type thing. And then about three houses up, we noticed that the roof on this house had a lot of sticks and foliage that had rested on the roof because it was under these big old gum trees and stuff. And then all of a sudden we noticed that there was some smoke coming off those sticks. And my first reaction was to listen for the fire brigade. But there was no fire brigade. There was no sirens. And so I'm like, oh, okay. And so I got a little bit, what's going on here? And I could see that it was starting to take, the fire was starting to take effect and it was burning through the roof of this home. And so I ran up the street and I grabbed the hose. And the people were in the house and they didn't know what was going on. So I grabbed the hose and I'm like, shh, pouring water on and put the fire out. And so the house, we put with the people that lived in the house like a tarpaulin over the roof of the home where there was a big hole. And then we go inside to have a cup of tea with them. And then all of a sudden out of the background, I can hear the fire brigade coming. I'm like, what's that all about? The fire's over. It's all done. Anyway, the fire people come to the house. They bang through the door and they said, you've got to get out. We're like, well, no, the fire's already out. And they said, no, it's not. And then one of the guys, it was like they had these big internal roof beams. It was like a big, old wood triangle in the... And one of the firemen whacks into this thing and it breaks open and it's red hot and smouldering hot. And it's ready to just explode. And then the fireman says, you got to get out. So we all fly out and they get in and do their job and, put the whole fire out. And so there endeth the dream. I think Jesus was trying to tell me a few things. One was this. He was challenging me, and I think perhaps he was challenging us, not just as individuals, but maybe as a local church and even as a movement, as the Vineyard in Australia here. He was speaking to me about we're very quick to want to put out the external signs of God's presence for fear and worry. Now, I know a fire in the house is not a good thing, but this is what the Lord was using to try and get through to me. But he said, we're very quick to want to pad down and put out that stuff for fear and worry of what might happen. And the second thing he said to me is not only on the external, but he also said to me, we're very quick to want to dampen down the fire that is starting to take root in the structure of who we are as individuals and as a people. We're very quick to want to get in there and really put the internal fire out as well, the external and the internal. And then he said to me, Kirk, do not put out the Spirit's fire. So I'll go to Thessalonians. There it is, 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. And right alongside that he says, and Jeff can teach into this another day, do not treat with contempt the prophetic work of the Holy Spirit. Do not do it. So I'm like, okay, Lord. Paul says that when the gospel came to Thessalonica, came with not just words, but with power and deep conviction. You know, I think the Holy Spirit might be saying to us this morning that for many of us, we can feel the fire and we want the fire of God's presence and power. But out of our brokenness and our concern and our fear and our worry of what might happen if God actually broke out among us, we're not sure what would happen. And so we pat it down and try and keep it all nice and neat and tidy and try and keep it controllable, really. Jesus said, you'll be clothed with power. Let's just pray for a second and just see what Jesus is doing as he's walking among us, because he's walking in this room right now. Jesus, we thank you that you're among us. We thank you that the promised gift from the Father that you said would come is right here. Holy Spirit, you are right here among us. We welcome you, Jesus, just like Paul said, to open the eyes of our heart to know you right now, to know what it is that you're doing among us right now, as individuals and as a fellowship of believers. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Come bring your power. Come show us what's on the Father's heart as you set us free today to be the ones who have discovered you and walk in intimacy with you and walk in the power of your presence. Come, O God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, just try and stay in that place while I just kind of navigate us through this a little bit. The picture that the Lord showed me during worship that we started with, that some of us have walked in here today and it feels like there's some arrows that are in different parts of our body. It's just as we've come in from the battlefield of the kingdoms clashing and we're here in the fellowship of believers, this is the time for that stuff to be, the barb and the sting of that to be removed and for the healing of the Father's love and presence to release you from its effects, that you might have the strength again in the power of the Spirit to lift up that shield of faith to swat the enemy's work and prevent it from affecting you. Now, this requires a bit of boldness and courage and a lot of humility, I'll tell you that much. If that's you, when you walked in here this morning, you came in and you know what your limp is, or you know what that wound is, that you tried to leave at the door when you walked in, Would you, if that's for you, would you be so bold and at the same time humble to just to stand for me right now so that we can ask Jesus to come and remove that barb and set you free? Now, for some of you, it's relational stuff. For some of you, it's physical healing stuff. For some of you, it's circumstantial stuff, economic stuff. Would you just be so bold as to stand for me and humble too, that God might lift you up? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Okay. Now, I think this is how it's going to play out. You folk that are just standing there, we just honor you and we bless you in Jesus' name. We see you. And we let our hearts be drawn to God for you right now. And we declare in Jesus' name, there is safety here And there is provision and goodness in God's people and among his people just for you. Now, for those of us that are sitting, like, if you can just stay there standing in that place, that would be really wonderful, just for a moment. Now, for the bulk of us that are now sitting in the chairs, I'm going to take a shot at this and a big hunch that you guys are followers of Jesus, disciples of Jesus. And I'm going to ask that the Holy Spirit would begin to release his fire in you and his power in you for your brothers and sisters who are right now asking for freedom and liberty from their circumstances. And that your hearts would come alive with the love of God for them. And I'm not sure on the ministry etiquette in this place, but I'm just going to ask that you would bear with me, and I'm going to trust God in this, that he knows what he's on about, but that he's going to actually navigate you disciples of Jesus to be able to be mobilized to go to the right person. And some of the ministry team might need to go to each situation and just be a part of that. That's all cool. But you're going to get moved by the fire of the Holy Spirit. The power of Spirit's going to come on you, disciples of Jesus, to come and help liberate, set free, heal, and bless what God's doing in the lives of those that are standing up. So, Holy Spirit, we just ask that you would, even as you're among us right now, you know, you, in 1 Corinthians 12, you talk about how in every situation, you just apportion your gifts according to what's on your heart. You administer it at your will. And so we ask now that you would release prophecy, faith, miracles, power. We ask that you would release supernatural signs and wonders from heaven that can only come from the reign of God to come through us as the people of Jesus to bless our brothers and sisters in their journey in the kingdom, that they would know liberty and freedom and joy and fulfillment and abundance and provision and the goodness of God and a sure sense of who they are. Holy Spirit, just release your gifts now. Release your gifts. Now, and I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would help faith rise in us. Would you give us a touch now, Holy Spirit, of the fire? Of the fire. And everything that's in us right now that wants to pat it down and put it out, we ask that you forgive us, Lord, and you would just bypass that right now. And set us free to be the people of Jesus. Set us free now. Okay. Disciples of Jesus, look at me, please. Open your eyes. Look around the room now to the ones that are standing and let your heart go to the one that the Father places on your heart. Let the fire that begins to burn in you direct you to the one that you need to go and stand with and pray with. We release freedom now to do the works of Jesus. And everything that would want to pat us down and cause us resistance, we say no to that in Jesus' name. Mindsets and demonic oppression, we say no in Jesus' name. Now, be free now to move in Jesus' name.
And just to help you to do that, just give permission now for the Holy Spirit and the Lord to help you to give up all of the limitations you place on this now. I'm not going to limit you, Lord. I'm going to allow you to make me late for my next appointment. I'm going to allow the dinner to burn. I'm going to allow you to take me to minister to someone I don't like very much. I'm going to allow you to take me to an area where I feel completely out of my depth. I'm going to allow you to do new things in me that I don't understand. I remove the limiters now. Just speak that out. I remove any limiters now. And in agreement with that, just in Jesus' name, by the power of his blood, those limiters that you've spoken out that are being removed, we just break through. There's a breakthrough now. You are now released and move out in that release in the promptings of the Holy Spirit.
Thanks, Jeff. Let's go. Let's do what Jesus does. Look for what the Holy Spirit's doing. Look for that dynamic activity that he's doing in and over the lives of the people that are standing up, and join with him and bless them and minister to them the love of Jesus. Thanks, Holy Spirit. All right, just while we're praying there, I'm just going to sing. This is not my forte, so may the grace of God be on your ears. I'm just doing this out of just yes, Lord stuff, okay? Come be the fire inside of me. Come be the flame upon my heart. Come be the fire inside of me. Come be the flame upon my heart. Come be the fire inside of me. Come be the flame upon my heart. Come be the fire inside of me. Come be the flame upon my heart. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you. We love you and we honor you right now. We honor you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just bless you to keep ministering there. I realize that some of you all might need to head on home, and that's all fine. I would like to just let you know that over the next little while, if you don't have to rush out of here, we do just want to encourage and fan the flame of the Holy Spirit's gifting in you. And so through the laying on of hands, just like Paul encourages us, I just want to let you know that if you would like to have us pray with you about that, to see the gifts of the Spirit fanned into a flame in you before you go, please feel free to come down over here to the carpet over down the end of the building here, and we'll pray with you and just lay hands on you and ask the Holy Spirit to fan into a flame the gift of God that is within you. Otherwise, I'm going to hand over to whoever, and just say to Jeff, and just say what a privilege it has been to be with you this morning, and thank you for allowing us to come and be with you this morning. God bless you.
Bless you. Thank you, buddy. I'm just going to ask Wayne to quietly put some music on, if you would, and I'm going to say good morning and God bless you. Remind you that we've got a meeting this evening, which I'm very much looking forward to.